Once a long time ago, Kindalach, there was a king. And the king built a new room on the palace. A beautiful, nice room that he wanted to use for different things, to have guests over, to have friends over, to have royal banquets, parties, meetings, and all kinds of special king things that he does in the palace. And when they got done building the room, the king came in, and there was a big opening to the room, and there were three big gigantic walls. And the one that he came in with the door, so that wall was broken up by the door, which was the entrance to the room. But the other walls were three gigantic big walls. There were no windows in this room, only the door to come in, which took the fourth wall. And the king looked at these big empty walls and he thought to himself, what color should I paint them? Blue? Nah. Green? No. Pink? I can't decide. All of a sudden, the king got an idea. I have a better idea than just painting them a regular color. I will get an artist, and he will decorate the walls with his artwork, pictures, different kinds of paintings. This will be something special. Other kings will not have such a nice thing in their palace, artwork on the walls like I'm going to have. It'll be a really nice way to show off to my friends. And then the king got a better idea. Instead of having one artist do three walls, let me get three different artists. Each artist will take a wall, and each one will make his own picture on one of the walls. And that way, it's going to be really special. And to make sure that they do the best job possible, I will offer a contest. I will pick three of the best artists, and I'm going to tell them whoever does the best picture and the nicest picture will get a very big bag of gold, a big prize. And I'll figure out maybe some prizes for the second and third place ones, depending on the work they do. And to make sure that I'll enjoy their work, I'm going to make a party in 30 days. 30 days, that is, after the artists start their work. I'll invite my best friends over to the palace, and we're going to enjoy the brand new finished room with the beautiful artwork. And so the king made a meeting with his officers, and he told them to go out in the kingdom and get him the three best artists, and they should be coming right away to the palace to hear about the contest and start their work. And so the officers came back, and they brought the three best artists in the kingdom. And the king told them exactly what to do and about the contest, and they have 30 days. And the main thing is, each one will take a wall and decorate the wall how he would like to do it. And in 30 days, the king will judge the contest to see who's got the best work. These three artists were very excited, and they all left the palace in a big hurry. The first one went home. He got his paints, he got his brushes, he got his aprons, and all of his different artist tools, and he rushed back to the palace. Not only that, he brought a suitcase. He packed up clothes because he told his family, rather than to go back and forth and spend time from the palace back home and from home to palace and walking through the streets, I am going to stay in the palace for 30 days. I will sleep by my picture. I will eat by my picture. I will not leave it until it's the best picture. It'll be worth all the work, because if I get that bag of gold, I will be able to have plenty of time with my family afterwards, and I will stay home afterwards and be at home. But for 30 days, I will have a very, very big job and give all my energy to that job and my time. So he brought a suitcase of his paints and his things and a suitcase of his clothes, and he started his picture right away. And the second artist came about 15 minutes later. He brought one suitcase of his things. He decided that he's going to come early in the morning and leave late at night, but he's going to go home and he'll be with his family. So maybe he's not going to spend every minute by his picture, but he's going to do the best job that he can. And he got to work on his picture also. The third artist was nowhere to be seen. He didn't come in half an hour, he didn't come in an hour, and he didn't come in 3 hours. And by the end of the first day, the first artist had started a beautiful picture, and he was already painting on his wall and doing all kinds of different artist things. And the second artist was also working as good as he can, as nicely as he can. He didn't do as much as the first one, but he was also doing a pretty good job. And the third artist was not even there at all for 1 minute. Where is he? Doesn't he want to win the big bag of gold? Doesn't he want to have the honor of painting the king's palace? Doesn't he want that the king should be happy with him? And people will know that he was in the contest or won the contest? It'll do so much for him. It'll make him so much more famous than he is already, even if he comes in third place. But of course, each one wants to win. First place, that'll make him to be the best artist in the kingdom. And the second day was like this. The first artist slept by his picture. He woke up very early in the morning, and he was already working when the second artist came from his house. And the second artist got to work, and he was also painting, but he didn't do as much as the first one. And his picture was very nice, but the first one was even nicer. But both of them were very nice. And the third one wasn't even there. And it went on 3 days and 4 days, and the first week and 2 weeks, the contest was already half over because they only have 15 more days. The whole thing is 30 days long. By this time, more than half the wall was finished from the first artist's beautiful artwork. He was working day and night. Every minute of his time and koyach was going into that painting. The second artist was doing also a wonderful job. Not exactly as nice as the first artist, but he was doing a beautiful job too. And he hoped he would win the contest. And the two artists would talk with each other. They wouldn't be like angry at each other. Each one knows they're trying their best. And each one wants to be fair in the spirit of the contest. But one thing that really bothered them, where is the third artist? How can he not take this seriously? How can he not even show up? What does he think he's going to do? Not only that, the king knows who the third artist is. How is it going to look when the king comes to judge the contest in 30 days, or now 15 days, and his wall is not going to be at all like the other walls? How can it be? He didn't work. How does he expect the king is going to feel about him? Won't he be embarrassed? Isn't he worried about what the king is going to do to him or think about him? Well, no time to think too much about this. There's too much painting to do. Another week went by, and now it's the last few days of the contest. The first artist is almost finished. Beautiful work from top to bottom. Special colors, careful, everything done so nicely. The second artist, a little bit behind, a little bit not exactly as nice, but also beautiful and special. The third artist never came for 1 minute. And now it came the 30th day. That's the evening of the big party. That's the evening of the judgment when the king comes to judge who is the winner of the contest. The first artist had finished his picture. He was just going over the finishing touches, putting on the last little specks of paint here and there, and doing little tiny things to make it look just perfect. The second artist had a little part of the wall that still was not done, and he was finishing it up. And he knew that he would be able to finish it up, and hopefully he'll have time to also do the finishing touches to make it look just perfect. The cooks were already busy cooking in the kitchen, and the cleaner men were already busy cleaning up the palace special and setting up the special tables for the party and decorating and setting up all the different things. And the trumpet blowers were shining their trumpets to blow the trumpets when guests would come to announce the guests who they are. And everybody was getting ready for the party. The band was tuning up their horns and their strings to play by the contest and the party. And everybody was in a very happy spirit. And still the artists were wondering, and everybody was wondering, where is the third artist? What does he plan to do? And about an hour before the sun was going down, all of a sudden, coming through the hall of the palace, they heard noise, like wheels turning. And all of a sudden, they see the third artist. And he's schlepping like a big wagon with a big white sheet over it, with something big, a big kind of a thing on it, like a who knows what it was. And he's sort of walking and singing and smiling. Here I am. Oh, here's the room. Yes, let me get to work. And the other two artists said, where have you been? It has been already 29 and more than a half a day, almost 30 days. The contest is almost over. You have only 1 hour left. What do you plan to do? Do you see how hard we've been working? And the artist smiles. Fools, you've been working so hard for nothing. And I've been home having a good time, just doing whatever I want. And now I'm going to win the contest. And you wasted all your time for nothing. You could have been home having fun too, not working so hard like you've been doing. And they said, what do you mean? He says, I've got a plan that I'm going to win the contest, even though I'm not doing all the things that you've been doing. I've got a different way. And he took off the sheet from the wagon, and they saw a big mirror. A gigantic mirror, which is as big as the wall. And he lifted up the mirror, and he glued it to the wall. And he laughed. He says, look, when you look into my wall, you can't tell it's a mirror. You see both of your pictures in my mirror. So whatever each one of you did, it's showing up on my wall, and it looks like I did both pictures. So whatever the king is going to think about your walls, when he sees my wall, he's going to see both pictures in your wall. And whoever he likes the best, it doesn't matter, because mine is going to have everything, and I'm going to win the contest. A smart plan. And just then, the trumpet started to blow. The king is coming. The king is coming to judge the contest. And just then, the king walked into the room with his officers and his generals and his good friends. And the king said, it's time for me to judge the contest, to see the beautiful walls that were made for this room. And the winner is going to get a very big bag of gold. The second prize winner could also win a bag of gold, not as big as the first one. And we'll see about any other winners that might be. And the king carefully looked at the first wall of the artist that did so much work and slept by his painting, and every minute he was putting his koyach and his time into his wall. And the king didn't say anything. He just looked at it very carefully. And then the king looked at the second wall of the artist that had gone home every night, but he had come early in the morning and left late. And he didn't say anything. And then he looked at the third wall, which was, of course, the mirror. And the king studied it very, very carefully. And he did not say a thing. And then the king said, now it's time to announce the winners of the contest. The king went over to the first wall, and there was a light that was coming out of the wall that had a kind of a hook on it. And the king took a very big bag of gold, and he hung it on the first wall, and he says, this belongs to this artist who did such a fine job, and I'm sure worked so very hard, and his work shows his talent, how beautiful it is, and he wins the first prize. And everybody said, yay for the first artist who worked so hard, and he slept by his painting, and it didn't waste a minute. And then the king went to the second wall of the artist that went home every night, but he worked very hard too, and he took out another bag of gold, not as big as the first one, but a nice size bag of gold, and he hung it on the light that was coming out of that wall. This belongs to the artist that did this wall. I'm sure he put forth his best effort and he did a beautiful job. And everybody said, yay for that artist. And the king says, now it's time for me to go. And the third artist who hung up the mirror, he said, but king, what about my prize? What about my wall? My wall is as beautiful as both of them put together. What about a prize for me? The king says, of course, there's your prize. Look into your wall. It's hanging right there on the hooks. And the artist turned around and he saw in his wall there were two bags. One bag was a big bag, one bag was a smaller bag, and they were hanging on his wall. Two bags of gold, not one. He says, yay, my prizes are hanging on my wall. And he runs over to grab them. And all of a sudden, the whole mirror smashed to pieces and fell down on his head. What happened? What happened was, he wasn't seeing bags of gold. He was seeing the bags of gold that were hanging on the other artist's mirrors. And they were looking like they were hanging on his wall, but really there was nothing there, just like there was no paintings there. But he forgot for a minute. And he went to grab the bags of gold, which was really not there. And he broke his mirror. And he saw that when you work hard, you get something. And if you don't work hard, you get nothing. You can't get nothing. You can't get something for nothing. And that is the Meiser. In the time of the Rebbe Rishab was a Yid. Let's call him Yankel. And Yankel had a business, and he had a factory, and he had workers, and he was the boss, and he was the owner. And Yankel had a family, he had to take care of his family, and make money, and buy clothes, and buy food, and all of the things that your tati has to do for your family. And one time, Kinalach, a terrible thing happened to Yankel. Every month, a government officer from the king was sent to check the factory to see if everything is going good. What means everything is going good? That money is paid to the king from the factory. Because each business and each factory and each person that makes money, they have to give a certain amount to the king for taxes. And there are different ways that the officer is able to find out if they're paying their money or they're not paying their money. If they're paying their money, they get a stamp in the book, and they get a thing on the wall, and they get a good mark from the king and from the officer. If the officer finds out that they're not paying the money to the king, if there's any cheating going around or any draying around going around, then they can get put in jail or sent to Siberia and work by the North Pole in the snow for 25 or 50 years, which means they would never come home again. Because if a person did something against the king got very angry and sent the person far, far away into the snow. And so most of the people were very, very careful to pay the king the taxes because they were afraid what might happen. But Kinalach, in Yankel's factory, some of the workers were very schlecht. And they made a trick. One night they went into the office, they snuck in, and they stole a whole bunch of money that was supposed to go to the king, and they wrote different things in the book to make it look like Yankel paid the money to the king when he really didn't pay the money to the king because they stole it. And in the bags of money that were supposed to go to the king, they put different rocks and different things so it should weigh the same. It should feel like there's money in there. And when they took the money to the king, they found out that there wasn't money at all. There was a whole Baba Maisa. And where was the money? And the inspectors came. They came to the factory. And they were very angry and they said, money was not paid to the king. Rocks were paid to the king. Where is the money? And they went into the office and they opened up the books and everything was written down like it had been paid. Aha, a trick. The money was stolen. And who stole the money? Yankel says, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. And the government officials started to question the workers. And the worker said, oh yeah, we saw Yankel goes into the office and he opens up the bag and takes out the money and puts it in his pockets and puts in rocks. We saw him do that, right? He was stealing the money, but he didn't think anybody saw him. Yankel says, he didn't do such a thing. No such a thing that I do. And there was a big argument. And now Yankel sees that he has been tricked by his workers. He knows they stole the money because he certainly didn't do it. And they're making it look like he did it. And the workers point to him and he's pointing to them. And the officer says, this is going to trial to the big judge. And the big judge will decide. And whoever is guilty is going to Siberia for 25 years. And Yankel sees that he's only one and the workers are many. And they're against him. Also, he's a Yid. And Yidin were not treated very nice by the king or by the judges. And it's very likely that if in front of the judge there's workers and there's a Yid, the judge is going to look at the workers and say, yes, I understand, yes, I understand. He'll look at the Yid and he says, go to Siberia for 25 years. And that's it. And Yankel came home very afraid. Oy vey, I'm in big trouble. Oy vey. I have to go to the trial by the big judge in the big capital city where the palace of the king is. Oy, 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 vey, vey, what's going to be? Oy. And Yankel's wife was a very good woman. And she had very strong belief in Hashem and Tzaddikim. And she said to Yankel, Yankel, why don't you go to the great tzaddik, the Rebbe Rashab, the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Everybody says he's such a big, big Halakha tzaddik. Go and tell him what's happening, and I'm sure that the Halakha Rebbe Rashab will give you a bracha, and everything will be okay. Now, Yankel did not believe kinalach so much in tzaddikim. Some people don't believe so much in tzaddikim. There's a certain Yetzirah that makes a person that he believes in Hashem, but he says, a person is only a person. And we know that that's not true. A person is only a person, and a person can make mistakes, but there are certain people that are very special, that are much different than other people, and they have a gift from Hashem. They have a special neshama that's so halik that they are a real tzaddik. They don't make mistakes. They have Ruach HaKodesh. Every little thing they do is special in Halik. And they are like Moshe Rabbeinu in his time. They are like a Moshe Rabbeinu in their time. The Gemara says that. Every time there's a Moshe Rabbeinu who is just like Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of the Jews and the most Halik and special and Halik Ruach HaKodesh Yid Tzaddik. But Yankel did not believe this so much, Kinalach. He had a Yetzirah that made him say, oh, it's not really now, it's a long time ago, such a big tzaddik. And his wife begged him, please, Yankel, what's it going to hurt to go to the Rebbe Rashab? Finally, it was getting close to the trial, and he was getting so nervous. He could hardly sleep or eat. And finally, he said, okay, I'll go to the Rebbe the shop. But remember, I really don't believe in all these things. And he goes to the Rebbe the shop. And he cries and he explains how he's in trouble and he has a factory and the workers made a trick and he didn't steal the money and the judges might send him away to Siberia and what's going to be? And the Rebbe listens to him. And now Yankel is waiting for what the Rebbe has to say. And the Rebbe says these words, Yankel, this is what you should do. You should go to a dentist. Yankel can hardly believe his ears. Am I listening? Am I hearing? Is my head working? Am I awake? Am I dreaming in bed in pajamas? What? Rebbe, I'm sorry. I don't know if I heard what you said. Yankel, you should go to a dentist. And that was it. The Rebbe was finished speaking. The Rebbe's shamash showed Yankel to the door. Yankel left, and he was so confused. Here he finally went to the great tzaddik, the Rebbe Rishab, and the Rebbe Rishab tells him to go to a dentist. What's a dentist got to do with anything in the whole world? I don't even have a toothache. And he comes home to his wife, and he was so upset. And he starts to get so upset. And his wife was not at all surprised. The Rebbe told you go to a dentist. So go to a dentist. What do you mean go to a dentist? I'm going to go to a dentist? What's going to happen? He'll look at my mouth and see nothing's wrong. He'll laugh. He'll throw me out. He'll make a joke out of me. I'm not going to any dentist. I don't have a toothache. Well, finally came time to go on the train. And he's got to go to the far, far away city for the trial. And he gets on the train, and he's so sad, and he's so depressed, and he feels so hopeless, chas v'shalom. Kinelach, he gets off the train after traveling for so many hours, and he's on his way to the big courthouse for his trial. And on the way to the courthouse, he sees he's a little bit early. He's got a little bit of extra time. And all of a sudden, as he's going down the street, he sees a sign by one of the stores that says, Dentist. And he passes by this sign, and he thinks to himself, here's a dentist. Should I go to a dentist? After all, the Rebbe just said, go to a dentist. He didn't say which one. Here's a dentist. No, it's ridiculous. I should all of a sudden go to a dentist? I don't even know the dentist. He doesn't know me. Nothing is wrong. I never went to him before. It's ridiculous. But the words of the Rebbe were very, very strong in his head. Go to a dentist. All of a sudden, he felt himself with a very big feeling he should go into that dentist. He didn't know why. He goes up the stairs. And there's a secretary at a desk. Yes, may I help you? What's wrong? Do you have an appointment? Well, nothing's wrong, and I don't have an appointment. So why are you here? I don't know why I'm here. Well, do you want a dentist? Yes, I want a dentist, please. Okay, sit down. And he sits down, and he feels very nervous. And the secretary's looking at him like, you know, he's a little bit strange. Finally, it's his turn to go into the dentist, and he goes into the dentist. The dentist is not even a yid, and the dentist puts on the bib, and he says, okay, what's wrong? You have a toothache? No. Something hurts in your mouth? No. Well, why'd you come to a dentist? I don't know why I'm in a dentist. Well, the dentist says, you must know why you came to a dentist. I mean, after all, you just don't come to a dentist off the street. Yeah, I came to a dentist off the street. And he starts to cry. And he starts to tell the dentist that he's in trouble and he's going to the court and there's a judge and he's so afraid and the workers made a trick and he went to this big rabbi and this big rabbi told him to go to a dentist and he doesn't understand what's happening to him. And now his eyes are full of tears and he dries his eyes and he looks up and he expected to see the dentist laughing at him, especially a guy. He's going to laugh at the whole thing. And the dentist was looking at him. His eyes were popping out of his head. He was so surprised. The dentist says, "I can't believe how halik your rabbi is, how special and holy your rabbi is. I can't believe. It is amazing. You have a wonderful, great rabbi. You cannot believe what a great rabbi you have."